Welcome back, beautiful med fam, to Scrubs and Giggles, Medical Student Edition. I'm your caffeine-fueled moderator, Javier Cruz, and today's episode is brought to you by Good Intentions and Terrible Outcomes.
Because sometimes in medicine, you try to help, and instead, you become the reason someone else needs help.
Oh, like that time I tried to fix a stuck IV line and ended up accidentally unplugging the heart monitor? I panicked when the alarms went off and shouted, "Clear!" just instinctively.
You what?
I didn't shock anyone. I just yelled it for dramatic effect, which was not appreciated.
This is what happens when TV scripts raise med students instead of textbooks.
Today's episode is called When You Tried to Help and Made It Worse. If you've ever stepped up in clinic thinking, "I got this," only to discover very quickly that you absolutely did not, you're in good company.
We've got stories about discharges gone wrong, procedures best left to the professionals, emotional support attempts that backfired, and one tale that includes glitter.
It always comes back to glitter, or urine, or both.
The holy trinity of med school regrets. Listen, we're not here to judge. We're here to commiserate, gently roast ourselves, and maybe learn something in the process.
Although if we do learn something, it's entirely accidental.
But what a beautiful accident that would be.
So whether you're walking into clinic with your stethoscope upside down or accidentally charting on the wrong patient named John because there were five of them on the floor.
True story?
I'll never tell.
But we will be telling four solid stories today from us and fellow students about moments where help turned into havoc.
We've also got a rapid fire round later with mini fails that are so relatable. They'll make you question every clinical assist you've ever done.
So if you've ever handed your resident the wrong lab results, tried to look helpful and just blocked the crash cart, or, my personal favorite, dropped your stethoscope in a sterile field, you are one of us.
We see you. We honor you. We laugh with you.
Med school, where survival is optional but laughter is mandatory.
Did I say that out loud? Oops. Anyway, here's what happened.
This is Scrubs and Giggles, and class is officially in session. All right, time for our first story. This one's from yours truly, and let me just say, if you've ever tried to help and accidentally extended someone's hospital stay by 48 hours, welcome to the trauma circle.
Oof, this already sounds like it involves an unnecessary consult or a very ambitious discharge plan.
Or both. Probably both.
Okay, so I'm on my internal medicine rotation, week 3. I'm finally feeling like I'm contributing. I've got my badge, my pen light, and just enough false confidence to be dangerous. My patient was a sweet older gentleman, Mr. Alvarez, recovering well from pneumonia. Vitals were stable, labs looking good, no longer needing oxygen. I think, boom, he's ready to go.
Spoiler, he was not.
Correct. So I'm eager to impress, right? I take the initiative and start prepping for discharge. I bring it up on rounds. Mr. Alvarez looks ready to go home. My resident gives me that skeptical side eye, but says, "Okay, let's double check his latest labs."
Always double check the labs. This is med student survival rule number 1.
Yeah, well, turns out I looked at the Arishesh previous 8 days labs. Missed the morning draw completely. Sodium had dropped, new leukocytosis, and oh, bonus, a positive blood culture that had just come back.
Javier!
I know. I was one, see you later, Mr. Alvarez, away from sending him home, mid-bacteremia. My resident pulls me aside after rounds and goes, "Your enthusiasm is appreciated, but let's aim for accurate and enthusiastic."
That should be the med school motto.
At least your patient didn't actually get discharged, right?
No, thank goodness for competent residents. But the worst part? Mr. Alvarez had already called his daughter to pick him up. She showed up with balloons. There were our balloons, Grace.
No.
Javier, you broke a family's heart with balloons.
I still think about those balloons, floating there, judging me in silence.
Okay, but real talk? We've all jumped the gun on something. I once tried to assist with a discharge and forgot to remove a Foley catheter.
Ouch.
Yikes.
The nurse was like, "Are you planning on giving him a souvenir?" Never felt so humbled in my life.
I once helped a patient pack up, found what I thought was their missing sock, and handed them someone else's compression stocking.
That's a biohazard, Lily.
You just transferred foot fungus via kindness.
Intentions were pure, execution less so.
And that's the theme of today, trying to help, making it worse.
But the key is, we're learning the hard way, but still,
through fire, and poorly timed balloon deliveries.
All right, let's keep this chaos train moving. Grace, you're up next. What's your clinical blunder of the week?
Oh, I've got a gem involving an NG tube and my deeply misguided sense of, I can totally do this. Stay tuned. Okay, so this was during my surgery rotation and I had reached peak delusional confidence. I'd observed like 3 NG tube placements and thought, Grace, you got this. You're basically an ENT now.
Oh no.
I already hate where this is going.
Our patient was post-op, mildly distended, and the resident says, let's get an NG tube in. I say, I can do it. He looks at me, shrugs, and says, all right, knock yourself out.
That was your first red flag.
So I prep everything, walk in all businesslike. The patient's sitting up, being a total sweetheart. I tell him, just lean your head forward like you're drinking through a straw, which is what I'd heard someone say once, sounded official.
It always sounds legit until it's in your hands.
I start advancing the tube. He gags, tears up. I keep going. Suddenly, the nurse taps me and goes, Grace, there's no gastric content. You're in his lung?
No!
You intubated the wrong pipe.
I back out immediately, horrified. Patient's okay, thankfully, but I look up, and my resident is watching from the doorway with arms crossed like some disappointed Obi-Wan.
You were supposed to bring balance to the patient, not pneumothorax them.
Thankfully, no pneumothorax. Just a very, very shaken med student and a very confused patient who kept asking, was that supposed to feel like drowning?
Grace, no.
And you know the worst part? The resident still made me try again, under supervision this time. But by then, my hands were shaking like a chihuahua on espresso.
So humbling, so traumatizing.
Honestly, we need a new unit of measurement in med school. One Grace NG tube, Sodric maximum possible well-meaning failure.
Thank you. I accept this shame with honor.
I once volunteered to help a nurse roll a patient to change linens. Simple task, easy assist, except I forgot to lock the bed wheels.
Did the bed move?
It spun, like a full semicircle. I screamed, the nurse screamed, the patient screamed, and he had a Foley in.
Lily!
You did a Tokyo drift in the trauma bay.
I just wanted to help, but no one told me med students can do more damage than benefit when wheels are involved.
Moral of the story, helping is great. Helping with supervision and brake check C is better.
Honestly, there should be a checklist. Am I trained to do this? Is anyone watching me? Is gravity involved?
And if the answer to any of those is no, just hand someone a snack instead.
All right, coming up next. Lily's got a story where she tried to be emotionally supportive and it somehow made everything worse.
If glitter's involved, I swear.
You're not entirely wrong. Okay, deep breath. We're halfway through and I already want to crawl under the nearest supply cart and stay there until graduation.
I want to formally apologize to every patient who ever looked at me like, are you sure you know what you're doing? Because they were right.
Same. I walked into med school thinking I was here to help. Turns out, I was here to test the limits of institutional liability.
I used to think first, do no harm meant never make mistakes. Now I know it means do your best and pray the nurse is watching.
Honestly, nurses are the real MVPs. Every time I've helped and made it worse, there's been a nurse right behind me whispering, sweetie, no.
Let's not forget attendings who gently, and sometimes not so gently, put us back in our place. Like mine, who once said, Grace, you're not a liability, yet.
That's practically a compliment.
But jokes aside, this is how we learn. We stumble, we mess up, and then we get better. Ideally, without bodily harm.
We're not laughing at the mistakes. We're laughing because the alternative is sobbing into our badge clip.
And because every single one of us has had that moment. The, oh no, I'm the problem moment.
All right, MedFam, refill that emotional support water bottle. Coming up, Lily's story of comfort gone catastrophically sideways, and a listener tale that might just top them all.
One involves glitter, the other involves paging psychiatry. Guess which is which?
I am not emotionally prepared for either, but here we go. Wham, messy keys, Ari. Okay, so picture this. Pediatrics rotation, week 2. I'm still figuring out how to walk and talk at the same time in a hospital setting. We had this adorable 7-year-old patient, Timmy, who was in for asthma management. Super chatty, super nervous, absolutely hated his nebulizer.
Classic Timmy. Every unit has a Timmy.
And every Timmy has a med student they emotionally attach to for mysterious, unearned reasons.
Exactly. So I took it upon myself to be his emotional support buddy, which, to be clear, a chomper no one asked me to do. But I figured, how hard could it be?
The famous last question.
So, to distract him during his next nebulizer treatment, I brought in some art supplies I'd snagged from the playroom. Pipe cleaners, googly eyes, glitter glue, the whole works.
This is already a code glitter.
We're coloring, laughing, making little monsters, and I hand him a glitter pen. He accidentally squeezes it too hard, and suddenly, it's everywhere. Like a glitter grenade went off. On the bed, on the machine, on the respiratory therapist who walked in at the exact wrong moment.
You glitter-bombed respiratory therapy?
E mid-treatment. She was not amused. Neither was the attending who arrived moments later to find Timmy coughing, me frantically trying to wipe glitter off the oxygen tubing, and the RT giving me a death glare.
Glitter and inhalation therapy, a pairing for the ages.
The attending didn't even speak, just looked around slowly, sighed, and said, next time, maybe just a sticker.
That's basically a clinical restraining order.
Did Timmy recover?
Oh yeah, he was fine, loved it, asked if we could use confetti next time.
Absolutely not.
Also, fun fact, you cannot remove glitter from an oxygen mask with alcohol wipes. It just spreads, like shame.
I once gave a patient a get well soon card I made during downtime. Sounds sweet, right? Except she wasn't leaving at all. She had terminal cancer. Her family read it and started crying. I learned a lot that day.
Oh no, Grace.
You emotionally detonated a whole room.
It was unintentional. I just thought, let me be kind. I didn't realize the patient's chart literally said, comfort measures only.
We try to help, and sometimes we just shouldn't.
Or at least check the EMR first.
Moral of the story, supportive gestures should never involve glitter or premature optimism.
All right, this next story comes from Dan, a third year from Philly, and it's a clinic-grade facepalm. Here we go. So I'm in my first real code situation. I'm shadowing in the ICU when the alarm goes off. Everyone rushes in. Residents, nurses, respiratory, the works. It's chaotic. I'm standing near the crash cart thinking, this is it. My moment.
Oh no. The words that signal doom.
I look over and see a nurse fumbling with the defib paddles. So I rush to help by unplugging what I think is a tangled wire from the back of the cart. Turns out, I unplugged the entire defibrillator.
No.
Yes. In the 12 seconds it was offline, the room turned into a horror movie. Everyone's yelling, someone's shouting, why isn't it charging? And the nurse turns to me with fire in her eyes and says, what did you just touch?
Dan.
I just whispered, the cord. That's all I could get out. The attending plugged it back in like he was defusing a bomb. They got the patient back, thankfully, but I stood in the corner for the next 45 minutes, reevaluating my life.
Honestly, I'd have walked out of the hospital, changed my name, and applied to law school.
Same, Dan. If you're listening, you are so not alone.
The sheer panic in that moment must have been enough to drop your own vitals.
I once tried to help during a stat page and handed the residents wash my stethoscope. The problem? It was tangled with my badge lanyard and coffee thermos. I basically gift-wrapped their panic.
I once ran to get oxygen for a patient in distress. Full sprint, heroic energy, and dropped the tank on my foot. Broke two toes. The patient asked if I needed the oxygen more than they did.
Med students out here doing full slapstick routines in critical care zones.
We're trying our best, but sometimes we're just human obstacles in Patagonia fleeces.
Inchi, Dan, thank you for your bravery in sending that in. That story needs to be printed and taped to every crash cart in America. Please do not improvise unless you've passed ACLS.
All right, time for the rapid fire round. Quick stories, big regret energy. You tried to help and instantly wished you hadn't.
I offered to warm up a patient's blanket, accidentally microwaved the call button. Burnt wires, unit-wide panic, and one very confused patient.
I tried to help set up for a lumbar puncture. Drop the sterile tray, just the whole thing. Attending stared at me like I'd stepped on the Mona Lisa.
I offered to chart vitals to be helpful. Entered a BP of 240 instead of 120/80. Attending thought the patient was in cardiogenic shock. It was almost a code. My bad.
I tried to adjust the patient's oxygen. Accidentally cranked it to 15 liters. Resident walked in, said, planning to launch them to Mars?
I walked into the wrong OR and asked if I could suture. The surgeon just blinked and said, "Who are you?" Then security walked me out.
I handed a nurse the wrong syringe. Was supposed to be saline. Was lidocaine. We all learned a lot that day.
I helped a patient fill out their menu choices, accidentally marked them NPO for breakfast. They cried over a missing muffin.
I helped prep a room for rounds, rearrange some charts to look tidier. Resident couldn't find a critical note. Attending called it a documentation Bermuda Triangle.
I tried to be polite and made small talk with a family member. Asked if they were the patient's daughter. She was his wife. Whoops.
I once said, "You look great for 80. He was 62. I walked backward out of the room and didn't come back.
These are the moments that build character. And therapy bills.
Coming up, final thoughts, lessons, and of course, our favorite moment of today's disaster parade. Well, MedFam, we came, we helped, and we made everything significantly worse.
But we did it with enthusiasm and occasionally glitter.
And that has to count for something, right?
Today's takeaway? Helping is great, but helping without supervision, training, or a basic understanding of cause and effect, less great.
Sometimes the best thing you can do in a clinical setting is just stand still, hands behind your back, silent, invisible.
I call that my museum exhibit pose. Behold, anxious med student in her natural environment.
We've all had these moments where our attempt to be useful turns into a cautionary tale for the next class.
And it's okay, because what matters is what we do. After the disaster, owning it, learning from it, and maybe laughing about it in front of thousands of strangers on a podcast.
We laugh because we care, and because crying in the supply closet is not as acoustically friendly.
Before we wrap up, favorite moment from today?
Dan unplugging the defibrillator mid-code. It was horrifying and hilarious, truly the Olympic gold of oops.
I'm still haunted by Grace's get well soon card in palliative care. I mean, you tried?
Thank you. I will never write anything cheerful again without checking the chart first.
I'm going with the glitter bomb incident. The mental image of a respiratory therapist covered in sparkles during a nebulizer treatment is going to live rent-free in my head forever.
Look, art is healing. Just maybe not when it's airborne.
And not when it involves lungs.
In our next episode, we'll dive into more clinical chaos, surprising, strange, and totally unforgettable. You won't want to miss it.
A goat?
Don't spoil it.
Until then, keep your stethoscopes clean, your hands to yourself, and your crash cart cords plugged in.